Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater here in Southern California. Today is Thursday, October 26, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 161, the second paragraph beginning with, "But life among Alcoholics Anonymous is more than gatherings," and ending with, "How could they?" We are reading and commenting on only one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Penny L.C. reading the text, Lois P. reading page 164, and Dionne R. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Kathleen W., and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, October 25th, 2023, is 20,777 or 20777. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,779 or 20779. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals. If everyone could please star one to mute, there is some noise on the line. Let me start that again. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Donna L. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
I'll be glad to do that. These are the 12 steps that have changed my life. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. It has been my pleasure to do service. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Donna L. And I will now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for allowing me to serve. Bonnie B., currently located in Florida. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such, but we may create service boards or communities directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, or other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personal service, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Bonnie B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 161, the second paragraph beginning with, "But life among Alcoholics Anonymous is more than attending gatherings," ending with, "How could they?" We are reading and commenting on only one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to begin reading.
Yes, thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. But life among Alcoholics Anonymous is more than attending gatherings and visiting hospitals, cleaning up old scrapes, helping to settle family differences, explaining the disinherited son to his irate parents, lending money and securing jobs for each other when justified. These are everyday occurrences. No one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially if he means business. Social distinctions, petty rivalries, and jealousies, these are laughed out of countenance. Being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God, with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others, the things which matter so much to some people no longer signify much to them. How could they? And for my reflection on this, first of all, I think about that this paragraph is in the chapter, A Vision for You, you know, and it describes, it's a description of the vision for me and for us. My or our life in 12-step work is more than attending meetings. It's giving to others. It's operating from a place of self-care, to offer care to others in passing on the message, operating not just from the head, but from the heart. More than out of obligation, but out of love. And if there's any discord, it is put aside. And the out of continence for me means out of its initial importance, out of having its initial strength or power. Instead, we function in harmony. And referring to wrecked by this in the same vessel, there's the other big book reference to that on page 17 in the chapter, There is a Solution. You know, it talks to whether we come from steerage or captain's table. So that was referring to what class of passenger you were. And we're not in any of class. We're all in the same status because we all are in the lifeboat together being restored. It's a miracle. And helping others, you know, by sponsoring or just simply by supporting fellows on their recovery journey as they clean up their old scrapes is our mission. We have a common problem, but we have a common solution. No matter our background, we are united in our brokenness, united in our purpose. So we have common objectives, finding a higher power that we can be in connection with, studying the same owner's manual that applies to and is relevant to all of us. Our healing leads to our helping as we pass on what was passed to us. We have similar pain, dis-ease, yet we have similar relief, ease. With all this of this commonality, we form and are united in a powerful fellowship. And I'm grateful to be part of that fellowship with that help.
Oh, thank you so much, Penny L.C. Really appreciate you getting us started. And we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes for as many people as possible to share. We've got a lot of people on this meeting every morning. So if everyone could keep it to 3 minutes, that would be so awesome. I'll remind you with the timer, time is up. When you hear the timer, please try to finish that sentence and your thought so that we can get more time for other people. And so I'm going to get a first lineup. I'm going to get your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Cheryl
A. in Arizona.
That one, I heard no one. Everyone talked
Wendy B.
Got you.
Wendy B. in Arizona.
Got you, Wendy.
Mo H.
Got you, Mo.
Mo. Okay.
Cheryl S.
Got you, Cheryl. And I think that's S or F?
S is in Sam.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Deanna.
And White. Got you, Deanna R. Sherry M. Got you, Sherry. And do we have anyone else who wants to get on this first lineup? Okay, I've got Wendy B, Mo H, Cheryl S, Dion R, Sherry M, and if you could please let us know where you're calling from, we'll start with Wendy B, followed by Mo H.
Good morning. This is Wendy B, recovered in Arizona, and near the bottom where it talks about social distinctions, petty rivalries, and jealousies. The things that matter so much to some people no longer signify much to them. And it just kind of reminded me of a few paragraphs back that said, the absence of intolerance of any kind, the informality, the genuine democracy, the uncanny understanding was what attracted him to the meetings. And when AA was first started, they did have growing pains and rivalries, and that's why they came up with the traditions, you know, as a bottom line to give guidance to the growing groups and, you know, and in their relationships between the members. And in thinking about rivalries and jealousies, I'm also reminded about the dangers of comparing and focusing on how I'm different than others instead of seeing how I'm like them, identifying in versus comparing out. And I've made an ideal for the attitudes that I want to emanate, you know, as a meeting participant. And a few of them are, I want to be welcoming and inclusive. I want to listen attentively without judgment and critical thoughts. And I want to be grateful for others who are different, you know, and share a different perspective than me. And just be grateful that every voice gets to be heard, you know, and every perspective gets to be considered. And that my experience is valuable to share too, and so is everybody else's. And thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Next up, we have Mo H., followed by Cheryl S.
Hey, good morning. Ms. Stephanie, this is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. A lot in this paragraph, as in every paragraph, but life among alcoholics is more than attending gatherings. I hear that is more than just going to meetings. It's more than reading literature. It's more than, not that I visit hospitals, but it's more than, you know, helping others. It's carrying the message wherever I go. And the down here further, it says, no one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially if he means business. So, you know, I had sunk very low, and my relapses, every one of them, taught me another lesson. And I had to sink too low in my each relapse to then mean business, to then start working this program as it is meant to work. And it's doing all the steps, which is they've done here. They've done steps 4 through 9 by saying, you know, cleaning up the wreckage of the past, you know, and, you know, disinherited son, helping settle family differences, explaining the disinherited son to his irate parents. These are everyday occurrence. I mean, that's what we're doing in steps 4 through 9, you know, cleaning up our plate so that we can do 10, 11, and 12. And I've heard that the tools, which I use, are the handrails with which we climb the steps, with which the message. So we've got to do it all. I can't do just part of it. I need to do it all. And, you know, this program is just part of my everyday living. I live this program. I don't just do it at periods of time, you know, like when I'm listening to sponsees. You know, if someone calls me, I'm available. I make myself as available as I can. And then the being wrecked in the same vessel and being restored and united under one God with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others. You know, I heard it on the earlier meeting that, you know, that reminds me of the Titanic, you know, and those people, you know, that were given life preservers or the lifeboats, you know, to get in to save them together. And they became huddled together. And, you know, it wasn't until I walked into these rooms that I really understood that there were other people like me, and it wasn't just me with a food problem, with this eating problem, or as my mom would say to me, just get some willpower. But anyway, I need to work all of the program every day, and my primary purpose is to carry the message, and with that I pass.
Thank you so much, Mo H. from Walnut Creek, California. Next up, Cheryl S., followed by Dion R.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S., as in Sam, from Nevada, gratefully recovered but not cured today. And the two things that really have meaning for me in this paragraph is the first sentence and the last. And I tried for so many years to get by on, you know, just parts of the program, the parts that I was doing at the time. Maybe it was just the tools, or maybe it was going to meetings, and it worked to a certain extent. I had some abstinence, but it never got down inside of me. There was never recovery. It never reached that point where I had conscious contact with my Creator. And then the last part where it says, the things which matter so much for to some people, no matter, signify much to them or to me. And it reminds me of back on page 60 and 61 when we talk about the actor and the director and trying to run the show. And towards the end of that little section, it says, and do not his actions make each of them wish to retaliate? And that was me. You know, I caused people to want to retaliate against me because I just couldn't let things go. You know, I either had to get the last word, or I had to have a smirk, or I had to have an opinion. And I don't feel that way anymore. And I know that that's a result of that first sentence, where now I was willing to do everything. And I was willing to do it like my life depended on it. And as a result, I was given the gift, the amazing gift of a conscious contact with my Creator. And now that I have that conscious contact, those things don't matter to me anymore. And they not only don't matter to me, but I want to go out of my way not to create people wanting to retaliate against me anymore. And I can tell you by working this program with my whole heart and soul that I've achieved that. And I know that because I see it first and foremost in my relationship with my husband. And it's an amazing thing to live in peace in my marriage and to not have to give my children advice, you know, unless they ask me. There's so much peace in my life. And as a result, I'm just able to spend my time like with the Creator in that conscious contact, knowing that all is well. All is well. And then I've been given the gift of, I don't have to eat. I don't have to go nuts over food. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Thank you, everybody. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Next up, Dion R., followed by Sherry M.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, everyone. My name is Dion R. from Ohio. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. From the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I need to keep reminding myself how hopeless I felt. Being in the Overeaters Anonymous, I came in 1990, and it took, over 20-some years for me to surrender in 2012. And I'm like, whatever they say, I will do. Because I was tired of feeling hopeless, like someone just said, I got tired. I got tired of the way I felt, and I thought if I accomplished so much, degrees, furniture, cars, house, all that I would finally get that void filled in and I could step in over to the Anonymous and say, hey, I arrived. And to get today, almost all that stuff is gone by my letting them go graciously, because I was like holding on to the tightrope. Like, you're going to hold on to the program, God, or your understanding, or you're going to hold on to stuff. Stuff was my thing. I kept stuff. I almost was a hoarder. And when it came to food, I didn't even need it. I just get it. Today, to have just what I need, when I need it, and also all the spiritual solutions I have with so less stuff, that, to me, I'm batting 1,000. That's, to me, it was like I'm a billionaire because I don't have, my mind is not cluttered with stuff. I'm going to put my stuff. And that reminds me when they said we come here in all kind of ways, mentally, emotionally, all that. And earlier talks about in how it works. All I needed to do was be honest, right? Be honest, have an honest desire to do something different. And that, when I was looking up the word, that one paragraph someone mentioned too, it says no one is too discredited or has sunk too low to become cordial. I mean, to be welcomed cordially And I was looking that up in the Big Book Dictionary, but it had meant like the deepest desire. If he, to welcome him, if he means business. And I thought I meant business, but when I meant business, even when I didn't, I still got to welcome that. Today, my heart is overjoyed to help and welcome someone else if they mean business. And even if they don't, I'm still giving them more love and a safe haven. And a lot of people come and ask me about how did you do it. And I said, one day at a time in Overeaters Anonymous, which I will always be grateful to. And with that, I graciously pass.
Well, thank you so much, Dion R. And next up, we have Sherry M.
Hey, good morning. This is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered from Wyoming on the phone list, currently in California. Thanks so much, Stephanie, and for everyone shares. There's so much in this paragraph. I could just take one sentence at a time and break it down, but what's really standing out to me is that if he means business, and I was thinking about a vision for you and when I found a vision for you in 2017, and I found a group of people who meant business, and they were doing program differently. They were knowing that the program of Alcoholics or Overeaters Anonymous is actually the Big Book and studying it one paragraph at a time, and that everything we need is right here. And I think that's why, you know, we do business here in this group. This is a strong, healthy Vision for You group. And I've tried to bring people over from different meetings, and sometimes they come and sometimes they don't, or they come and it's too much because we do business here. We work these steps like our life depends on it, steps 1 to 12. And I was thinking about any newcomers on the line. Like, it doesn't really matter how far down the scale we have gone, right? We're all welcome here. And then I was thinking about the last paragraph and the last sentence, actually, was being wrecked, right? And we're in the same vessel. We're in the same boat here, right? I mean, if you could not stop compulsively overeating and were eating yourself to death or starving or whatever your manifestation of this disease is, then you are here. You're welcome. All we need is a desire to stop eating compulsively and and acting out in our behaviors with our food addiction. You're welcome. And we are united because the traditions unite us, and we have one higher power here. We have a group conscious, and everything gets voted in that way with God as the primary source of our inspiration and where we take our guidance from. And I was just thinking about my life when I came in 2004, what it looks like today is it's unrecognizable. I'm unrecognizable, and I continue to be transformed. So I love calling people who work the steps like their lives depend on it, because we mean business here. The things on the outside that used to be important to me no longer matter. It's all of the inside stuff. It's being rearranged by God. It is not the prosperity, it's not, the prestige and all these things. All I care about is helping another compulsive overeater or food addict to help them to find a higher power so that they can save their lives, like my life has been saved. And it is a requirement of me to do that. And if I don't do it, then the gift just dies, and I need to do it. So thank you all for being here. You're my support system. Without you, I'd be dead. And I'm not taking it lightly. Really important. All right. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry M. And if you're just joining us, we are on page 161. The second paragraph beginning with, but life among Alcoholics Anonymous is more than attending gatherings, ending with, how could they? And we read and were commenting on only one paragraph this morning. And I'd like to take another lineup. If you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please give others the opportunity to share this morning. And if you could please give your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from.
Karen E., California.
Holly
H., UK.
One more
Barbara
time.
Barbara A., California.
Kathleen W., Illinois.
Hold on, there was Kelly H., I believe. Did I get that right?
Kelly with a T.
Ah, Telly. Gotcha, Telly.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
There was Agnes A. from California before that.
Okay, I've got you, Agnes A. And there was someone else in there I missed.
Kathleen W. from Illinois.
Gotcha, Kathleen.
Sherry C. from Connecticut.
Sherry C.?
Surrey, S-U-R-I.
S-U-R-I, Surrey. Gotcha, Surrey.
Haley Q. from Los Angeles, California.
Joan Marie M.
Was that Shay U?
Joan Marie M.
I've got you, Joan Marie.
Okay, thank you.
I want to make sure I got Shaylee's name correct. Shaylee Q?
Kaylee with a K. Kaylee.
Kaylee. My ears are not working right this morning, guys. Kaylee Q. Okay.
Jan L. from Florida.
Jan, I'm not sure we'll get to you. But I'll put
that's fine. I'll talk another day. That's fine.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get there. So I've got Karen E., Kelly H., Barbara E., Kathleen W., Agnes A., Suri C., Kaylee Q., Joan Marie, and then if we can get to Jan L., and we'll see how it goes. If you could please let us know where you're calling from. We're going to start with Karen E., followed by Kelly H.
Hi, this is Karen. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Awesome. Oh, my goodness. So the part of, grateful, recovering compulsive overeater in California, Karen E. The part that stands out to me as I'm reading and listening, being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others, the things which matter so much to some people no longer signify much to them. How could they? Wow. How could they? Because what's really important in life, you know, this sentence says to me that we're united. That's unity right there, being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others. And what a life. I mean, I could have never imagined it before it came and before it happened. And I don't even know what words I have other than that, you know. I have relationships with people that, you know, it's just, they're real. It's real. You know, we can be vulnerable. We can be our true selves. We can be authentic and love where we're at, but not left there. A hand is held out. A time is set aside to discuss things and work through them and move forward and sharing tools and sharing life, like real life, like not the out stuff, but the inside stuff, the nitty gritty, you know, and restoring each other. Under God, doing a part. So I'm just very grateful for that. I don't ever want to go backwards, and I'm not going to graduate. And so I'll be here for the long haul, and I'm grateful for this meeting and grateful for these steps. So with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Karen E. from California. Next up, we've got Kelly H. followed by Barbara E. Kelly, can you hit star 1 to unmute, please?
Hi, it's Kelly, compulsive overeater from the UK. Just wanted to say thank you, everyone, for doing service, along with probably everyone else on this call, this meeting. means an awful lot to me in my recovery. I rarely get to a live meeting, so I thought I had to share. Yeah, the beginning and end, not to repeat anyone else's share, really rings out for me. I'm gratefully getting to rework my steps without shame after a period of relapse. And the understanding I have of the steps is just so much deeper this time round, that I don't regret the past. But I think when I first came into OA, I confused meetings, outreach calls, the tools, basically, with the program. And like it says, it's not just the program. The whole purpose of the 12 steps is for us to find a spiritual awakening and to carry the message. And that I sound so simple, it didn't twig to me. It just didn't twig that the whole purpose of the 12 steps is to find a spiritual awakening. And therefore, naturally, every area of my life is going to benefit from that process, because the understanding is that I was spiritually sick beforehand and that drove me to eat. My problem wasn't food, probably like everyone else's. My problem was I had a spiritual malady. So it's just natural that every area of my life, the longer I stay in this program and keep showing up, is coming off for the better. I don't always understand why it's better. I just experience that it is better, it's different, it's easier, it's more fluid. And then the last chapter, the last bit, and I've totally lost my train of thought now. I have to cut it because I've just gone blank. I'm multitasking and driving at the same time. But I did want to just say thank you, everyone, for being here, and apologies for the abrupt end to my share.
Well, thank you so much, Telly H. from the UK. We appreciate you. Next up, Barbara E., followed by Kathleen W. Barbara E., can you press star one to unmute, please?
This is Barbara A. Was it Barbara E. or Barbara A.?
It's probably Barbara A. It's you, Barbara. Go for it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is Barbara A., Central Coast, grateful, recovered today, Central Coast, California. Been on the meeting. I got on at 5, and I'm on now. This is what it is for me. This is what it is, reaching out to people, listening to recovered compulsive overeaters. This is how I live my life today. And you know, so often I'm like, don't want to share. I don't know what to say. I'm not qualified. Whatever. I get all nervous about sharing. And then when I share, inevitably I get a call from somebody who shares their strength and hope, their recovery. That's why I'm here. What a gift. This vision. I was willing. I was ready. I wanted this. And how wonderful to come to this meeting, be able to share, and hear the recovery here without judgment, without making someone wrong, without having to be right. All those things that I've put aside that don't even matter to me anymore. What a gift. I don't have to be right. I don't have to judge. I don't have to have it my way. I think I shared with a fellow today, I finally did it. I'm not going to get my way. Every day I'm not going to get my way, and God will provide. He'll give me what I need. I just get out of the driver's seat in that determination to get what I need, what I want, and put my strength and my compassion and my love and my learning towards helping other people, and I get what I need. It's so great. My sister was calling me doing a share with a fellow. And I said, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to my sister. I really want to talk to my sister. But I was really getting such recovery from the person who I was sharing with. So I said, God will allow me to talk to my sister when I need to talk to my sister. It's not like I'm in control anymore. How can I share that other than just saying, today, Today, by the grace of God and the recovery and putting down the food, I have learned love and compassion. And I've learned that by listening to this meeting. And I've learned love and compassion for myself, which I never had before, which I was so grateful to share with a fellow today. I'm learning to love and have compassion for myself, and that's the only way that I can give it and share it with others. So as the previous paragraph has said, this is a haven. I'm grateful to be here and grateful to share. Thank you so much. This is Barbara A., Central California, and I pass.
Thank you, Barbara A. And next up, we have Kathleen W., followed by Agnes A.
Kathleen? Good morning. This is Kathleen. This is Kathleen W. from Illinois. I just wanted to claim my seat today and thank everyone for their service. Thank you for every one of the shares that are helping me to continue to recover. I am a recovered and still recovering compulsive overeater. When I read this, it just hit me that the scope of the work that the people who wrote this book, the scope of the work that they were set to do, you know, it included going out to hospital, helping to settle family differences, you know, it brought the family in. You know, they talked to the alcoholics' families. It's just amazing. I don't see a lot of that in OA. I don't see any of it. I haven't seen it. Doesn't mean that it doesn't occur. But that kind of scope, for me, I have but
Kathleen, we lost you. Oh, there you are.
I'm content with the work that God has called me to in this program. You know, what God has called me to and what I'm learning how to fulfill this is only through the fellowship of OA and the consciousness of God in my life, is to have that heart and mind attuned to the welfare of others. And I've been OA, I've been in and out of OA since 1995, I believe, when I first got sober from another substance. I also was introduced to this program. So 1995, then 2010, I returned to it. Since then, I've been coming, but I've been, I came here with the understanding that this is where God wanted me to be. But I did not understand what was going to be asked of me. I had no idea. And I was not always perfectly willing to do these things that were asked of me. And it has taken a process through all these years. I had a breakthrough again from 2010 to 2015. I had a breakthrough 2020, another breakthrough. And all this time, gaining understanding and slowly gaining a willingness to lay down what I needed to lay down in order to move forward to the next step. And I didn't get it all revealed to me all at once. It's been this many years, and I'm content with the process that God has chosen for me. And I have a deeper understanding now through these years of the importance. Importance is not a good word. The significance in my life of working with others, it's been made more and more clear to me. And it's been, you know, it's become, I used to be just
that's time.
Work that I had to do. But now I have found that joy. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kathleen W. from Illinois. Next up, we have Agnes A., followed by Suri C. Agnes, could you hit star one, please?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Agnes A. from Central California. When you kind of go
later in line, you heard everything that you wanted to say, so I'll just try to keep it brief. But I enjoyed this reading and really relate very much to what the people before me have said, you know. So maybe what reaches out to me is the bottom half of that paragraph, you know, social distinctions, petty rivalries, and jealousies are laughed out of countenance and being wrecked in the same vessel and restored and united under one God tells me that it's about that spiritual awakening, that spiritual way of life, right? That redefinition of who we are and who others are, right? So with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others, things that used to matter don't matter or signify anymore. And I think that's just that spiritual life, right? When I took an inventory of myself and did steps 5 and 6, I got a clear understanding of who Agnes is, my defects of character, you know, my defiance of authority, things that stood in the way of not only my relationship with God, but my relationship with others, and kind of minimalize the joy that's possible in my life. Things like wanting to have the last word, to be right, all that kind of stuff, being really judgmental of people. You know, when I saw those things in myself, then I learned tolerance of them in others, right? So I'm not so quick to want the last word because I'm open-minded. I may not be correct, or maybe there's more to learn. You know, and just being intolerant of people, not just in the program, but in my life generally, family, business, work, my children, all those things. So this program does for me just improves relationship with other people, shifts me from being self-centered, another defect of character, to wanting the welfare of others, looking for opportunities to be charitable, to be kind, to show people grace, because I want the same for myself. I could go on and on and on, but it's the rejuvenation, the being reborn from the spiritual aspects of this program that have enriched my life. And so when I sponsor, I tell my sponsees, when issues come up, I say, just work the program. Every step has a promise attached to it. The miracle will happen. When you get to a point where you look yourself in the mirror, having done steps 4, 5, and 6, and of course, you know, 7, 8, 9, then you learn to like yourself and to like others. That's where the psychic change is. So that's what I'm so grateful for, to hear others living this miracle. Thank you. To hear others living this miracle from the spiritual program. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Agnes A. from California. And I overshot the mark. Kaylee, Joan Marie, Janelle, we're not going to get to you today, so please come back tomorrow. And Suri C., you got about a minute. You want to do a minute?
No.
So, do you want to try?
Gosh. Very few compulsive overeater, not recovered. I'm in this wrecked ship, and I'm with a whole bunch of people that are recovered. I don't even know if I am comfortable saying that I have a desire anymore. I am so lost, but I know that I can't stop listening to this line because this is my sanity. I don't want to talk about what I ate this morning. I am scared, and I am just grateful that this line exists, because wherever I am, knowing people are calling from all over the world, wherever I am in the world, there are so many people that, even though I'm on a ship that's potentially wrecked with them, that you still have your hand out. Your shares are still such a handout, such a beacon of hope. And I am so grateful for all the recovery that I hear on this line, that I hope that one day I will be fully willing to accept and take upon myself as well. And thank you again, and with that I pass.
Thank you so much, Suri C. And where are you calling from? So we can reach out to you. Connecticut. Thank you so much, and you know, please keep coming back. And that's all the time we have. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Lois P., will you please read a vision for you?
Absolutely, with pleasure. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Lois P. here, gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.